From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
In the saga of Karen Reed, as this continues on forward, where do you think it's going to go? Because obviously we have some bad actors here. Michael Proctor, you have two other officers who have are under investigation as well for improper actions. I mean, these are all things that are not going to play well at all for a prosecution of Karen Reed. Where do you see this going? Are we going to go again on the same three charges, or do you see this being a very different scenario if we'd see a second round of this?
Well, judging strictly on the responses to the motions of the defense. So in other words, when the defense is putting all of this forward, asking about double jeopardy, asking for charges to be dismissed, when you look at the response from the prosecution, I mean, they're holding firm. They're doubling down. So it doesn't seem to me that they have any inclination to not charge as the indictment was rendered from the grand jury. It seems to me that they're not going to, you know, go back on what the grand jury decided. It would be very rare, really, to do that, because then that is saying that you don't honor what grand jurors found in this case. Mm-hmm. And that was probable cause to believe second-degree murder, manslaughter, and leaving the scene of a crime that resulted in a death.
Are we gonna see the same sort of arguments over again? Or, I mean, is this going to be a totally different take on what we saw on this first round? I mean, again, considering the bad players here, you get Proctor back in there, all of that. I mean, it didn't add up very well the first time. How is it going to add up again?
Well, I see your point. And certainly when it comes to Proctor, first of all, the prosecution knew about Proctor at the beginning of trial. They knew about Proctor since those approximate 4,000 pages of the FBI investigation were made available to them and the judge. And I always have found it interesting that in this grandiose grand jury investigation for public corruption, the biggest thing they could find was, you know, very abhorrent and disgusting text messages from Proctor to his high school buddies, and one text message to his, superiors talking about, hey, yeah, I'm going to look for the naked pictures, or words to that effect. That's what you got. There's no big cover up. There's no discussion about the murder. There's no discussion about disposing of the body. There's no discussion of, oh my gosh, how are we going to play this? You know, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the scheme that was proposed. That's the best they came up with. Now, this is the deal, though, Tony. Now that we have three players under investigation, whenever you start looking at officers, you never know what you're going to find. It could be unrelated to Karen Reed. Sure. In other words, were they using their car off duty? Were they, and you know, illegally in their parameters, right? Not illegally, but not within their rules. Mm-hmm. Were they, drinking on duty? What all did they do? It's a Pandora's box that gets opened once a internal investigation is open. And all eyes are on these officers, the state police here. And so because of that, you're going to have an extremely thorough investigation. I don't know what they'll find. It seems clear to me that they're going to look at them, you know, very closely. But right now, all we have are, you know, these text messages. I mean, that's what we know in the public.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll see the same sort of defense for Karen Reed of claiming that there was this fight in the house and then, he was drug out, or are they going to go down a different road this time of like, look, you have this mishandling of the case by Proctor. You have other officers involved that may be accused of mishandling. So how can we really truly get to an accurate verdict here and just take the whole fight in the House out of it? Because that seemed to be, I don't know, far-fetched, I think, for most people. Do you think we're going to see a different approach here, since the first one for Karen Reed did not exactly produce the not guilty verdict that they wanted?
Well, if I were the defense team or any part of that defense team, you can bet I would be going in a different direction. I've always said she should just say that she didn't know she hit him.
Mm-hmm.
That this was a complete, she was blackout drunk. She had no idea she hit him. She had no idea he was dead. And there's a lot of proof about that.
Yeah.
I mean, she sent, I think, over 50 messages and screaming at him, "Where are you? Where are you?" It's clear in her, you know, delusional drunken fog, she didn't know mm-hmm. whether he died or not. I'm very, very convinced she knew she hit him and tried to hit him. That's what I see from the evidence, because she threw it into gear and went 24 miles an hour in reverse. Just try that in your car, Tony.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to do.
You kind of got to floor it really quick. Or I haven't tried it, but it would take a, you know, there's some intent there.
Yes, yes, exactly. And again, I mean, I'm convinced that it was in the moment. It was drunk. It was enraged. She knew the, you know, situation was coming to an end, but I've never understood why she didn't just say she doesn't, you know, or that would be put forward. What was initially put forward is she really doesn't remember.
Yeah.
And now she's speculating instead of ruining the lives of so many by, you know, coming up, concocting the story of, you know, a dozen people and 70 witnesses and all these agencies being involved in this massive cover-up. I don't think it's ever going to be bought.
No, I mean, there's even, I saw an interview with her parents where she had even said to them, I'm just paraphrasing here, but I felt something, or I think I might've hit something. I mean, kind of what she said to everybody else, but again, unsure of what it was. So there was that thought there for a while that I think something happened, but now it's nothing happened. And it's hard to back away from that once you've already established that with many different parties.
Many different parties. And on the record, I mean, she was very clear. Mm-hmm. She said, what I think could have happened was I could have incapacitated him. And in his drunkenness, he didn't get up. Is that terrible that I've memorized that?
there you go.
She said that.
Yeah.
On national television. Listen, if you hit something, you kind of know it.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly to me, she knew it. And somehow all of, you know, this whole idea came upon them to cast these aspersions upon others. And that's the evil that I see in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if she would have fallen on the mercy of the court early, and maybe even if she did it now, you know, they would say, listen, she's got a clean record. This is a one-off situation. Let's understand the real circumstances here. And, you know, I don't even know if she would have gone to prison.
Yeah.
I don't know. But but just what she's done to all of these lives and this huge PR machine and all the people that she's paid and been involved with to espouse this third party culprit involving, you know, the dog, a 17-year-old, an ATF agent and a Boston police officer. Is over the top.
Yeah. Do you think there's any, this is a speculation, do you think there's any guilt feeling there? I mean, obviously, you know, for if she did hit him, but for all these people, all these lives that have been changed because she, if she did hit him and suspect she might have hit him, won't take any sort of responsibility for those actions?
Well, I think we are seeing that is not her posture at all. She was, you know, giggling in court at all the wrong times, sometimes around the times that they were even talking about what happened to John. You know, there was a very poignant picture where John's mother was just crying. His brother, Paul, was leaning over and was so upset. His face was so upset. And she was giggling.
Yeah.
Now, she could have been listening to something completely different or had a different thought, but it was just such a moment. And I don't think, I mean, she has taken this on almost as a movie star.
Yeah.
You know, she's got bodyguards. She's going out on autograph signing. I just saw these pictures where she's posing with people. You know, this is just, in my opinion, a sign of a complete narcissistic behavior here.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we're going to see a change in Karen Reed.
Yeah, I would agree. And I was calling that from when we were hearing those about the text messages and the voicemails and the lack of regard for John's kids that he was taking care of from his deceased brother and in-laws. Just wanting all the attention there and wanting more and not having an understanding of what it is to be a parent. That's right there where I thought we got a narcissist here. But again, it feels like most of these cases, all roads lead back to narcissism.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? You combine narcissism with 9 drinks and you have a cocktail for disaster. You know,
you really do. I think that's a quote right there. You can find narcissism with 9 drinks and a cocktail for disaster. You've said it.
That's what I'm seeing here. So, Tony, in answer to your question, I think the prosecution should change. You know, I'm doing actually on X a whole what is called order of proof, and I'm on number 7 right now. Of how I would present the case if I were involved with it, or what I would recommend, I guess, just prove the case against her.
Yeah.
And I would start out with her own admissions, and I would put her father on the stand to explain, you know, why she told him she hit something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you said, that's such a key piece. You know, we have a text message from her saying, I think I could have clipped him.
Yeah.
You know, put all that
on there. A lot there that wasn't touched.
Yeah. And maybe the rules of evidence are preventing that. You know, the understanding is that they need the entirety of the filming session and that there's been problems getting that. You know, those can last 8 hours. They can last 2-3 days. And so for some reason, my understanding is they've had an issue getting all of that film, but they need it. Introduce it all. I think it's going to have so many nuggets of truth in it.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly.
So you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.